Jess Servion, and I'm super excited to bring you my new podcast, The Juice with Jess. This podcast is going to be about everything in your customer's journey. We're talking acquisition, awareness, making that purchase, retaining that customer, bringing them back around, and everything in between. This is going to be all about delivering dope brand experiences and talking to some really amazing people who are in the customer experience space, the marketing space, and everything in between. And welcome back to another episode of The Juice with Jess. I am Jess. And this week, I am joined by Madison Must, one of my dear CX friends that we've never actually met in person, but we met in a CX Discord. I feel like I can tell everybody who you are, but I kind of want you to tell everybody who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Well, thanks for having me. First of all, I love the name Juice with Jess. That's
Juice Box.
Incredible. Yeah, my name is Madison Must. I have been in the CX world for a couple of years now. So I got my start in CX at a startup called Terra Cafe. So based out of Brooklyn, New York. And at the time I started, I think there were only like less than five people. I was hire number five. It was super early on. Actually found the job through AngelList, which is like old school. I don't know if you remember them. Like
yeah,
old
school. Yeah, no, I remember. I'm a millennial.
Okay.
Don't let the Botox fool you.
Okay, I'm old. So older school kind of, I guess, older school way of finding startups. I couldn't really get a job through LinkedIn because prior to startups, I was a wedding photographer, owned my own business, can chat about all that in the way that it was its own CX. But yeah, I was lucky enough to kind of grow through CX at Terra Cafe. I did start out in like a very entry level associate role. I was taking on the phone calls, cleaning coffee grounds out of machines with my bare hands. It was like very unglamorous, but just so much fun.
Yeah.
And my first, you know, real startup experience. So I loved it and was able to really grow throughout that role, but also grow my team. Ended up, my final role there was director of customer experience at Terra Cafe. So amazing experience. That was like 3.5 years. And now I am at a startup called Sundays for Dogs, which is a dog food subscription startup and leading member experience there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my kind of professional spiel.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. I'm super excited to dive into your experience because I think we actually have a very similar experience, we coming from like a creative background, moving into like customer experience, startups. Like I know that founding employee moment. Like I also was like number four at Feastables and started the customer experience department there. So like that was, I know the trials and tribulations of that moment.
Yeah.
But for the audience, like let's dive in a little bit to your background. So you got your start in CX at Terra Cafe.
Yes.
I have a hard time saying that word apparently today.
You're not the only one.
And that was your first job in CX. Did you know at the time what CX was?
Definitely not. I think I had an understanding of like old school customer service, but I didn't really make the connection until I was reading through the listing and, you know, I was really doing research on the company and just kind of realizing like, oh, this company sells, you know, luxurious espresso machines. It's not like your Nespresso kind of lower price point. They're definitely ranging in the $1,000 plus range. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is a customer that has a really high bar, expects a lot of the experiences. So that was my kind of introduction into it. But what was interesting about that is, you know, I thought there would be a lot of really bougie, rich customers. And we definitely had those, but it was actually a lot of just families, people who lived in the Midwest had saved up and they would tell us they saved up for literally over a year. So it was almost like the bar was even higher because there was so much emotion and just consideration wrapped up in the product. So it was a really interesting kind of customer experience to have to deliver on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's brilliant. People say it's like the Tesla of coffee machines, but it feels like really the Rolls Royce of coffee machines.
Yeah.
You know? That's amazing. So I really want to ask you this question because like I know this from Feastables too. Mm-hmm. What was it like working for a company that puts such a strong emphasis on customer experience, but from the beginning?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it was so cool because I mentioned I was hire number five and then my manager, and she was leading CX and still is leading CX at Terra Cafe. Her name is Kate. She was essentially like hire number three, one of the very foundational kind of employees who not only built the customer experience, but had a lot to do with just the culture, the way that the company kind of worked. She's really close with the CEO. So it was this really cool partnership of them as kind of a duo, her being able to always like bring it into our strategy. So like an example of that is really early on when I started, we were launching our very first like own machine that we had built from the ground up. We already had our hero product, which was doing really well. But because, you know, Kate, my manager, was there, I was there really early on. We did customer surveys, incorporated a ton of that feedback actually into the product launch of this V2 that just recently started shipping. So that was really exciting. But it was like a direct correlation and direct impact on like customers were literally telling us things in conversations, and we were able to put it into a new product because she was, you know, so close and because I was so close to that process as well.
Yeah. I think that that's like the really important thing about when you start a company that values customer experience from the beginning. Feastables was like this, Terra Cafe is like this. A lot of companies are like this, Olipop's even like this. Like, it's so valuable to really set the standard for customer experience as experience for the company, because then you're going to value that feedback for one. Two, you're going to stick very closely to those customers, but also it creates a culture within the company so that every person, like whether you're supply chain, whether you're product marketing, it doesn't matter, like you are going to be so about customer experience. And I think that that's really valuable. And I love that story.
Totally. It was so cool because that trend really carried on. Like as you grow, it's definitely a little trickier to, you have all kinds of priorities as a startup, as a business. It's not going to be all customer all the time, but that's where, you know, the conversations get really interesting, where product launches, even just like different initiatives that we did, whether we offer free shipping, do we launch our own coffee? Can we, you know, kind of bundle products, things that came directly from customer feedback that did really, really well and were really lucrative. So able to like tie those wins back to, okay, but at the end of the day, we're always going back to the customer feedback and actioning on that. And having that from the beginning was so key to just kind of making that part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So switching gears a little bit, just about, still about your background, right? I'm super stoked for you. And I love this about you, like your story about how you like started from wedding photography, you moved into CX, and then you've worked your way up the ladder. I would love to hear in your own words, like, what is it like working your way up the ladder in customer experience? Because I think it's really valuable for our listeners to know that it's not just about like associate level positions.
Yeah, totally. I feel first just like super privileged and lucky that I got to experience every single step. And what was so great about starting is like truly front lines. It empowered me to be able to be a really great leader to everyone else who was coming into that exact role. So they hadn't created the customer experience associate role before I got there. And it seems very like, you know, very standard and very entry level, which it definitely was, but I was able to be so close to the product, so close to the customer, all the nuances of like, there was a lot of troubleshooting involved. That's a super kind of complex product. It isn't just where's my order questions, to the point where, you know, I was able to really take in all this information, create training documentation, create this kind of whole onboarding experience for the team that we hired on after me, and be a part of that was really cool. And it was also an interesting experience where, you know, I went through my own hiring process and then helped hire everyone onto the team because I didn't have necessarily like a traditional CX background. I was able to recognize that in people who maybe had the really strong skills, but might not be totally considered at like a larger company or a corporate company, or they're just trying to make a pivot.
Yeah.
So being able to experience every stage of what is it like to actually be on the front lines is what I call it, because it's traumatic to say it that way, but you know, it can definitely feel that way in the day-to-day, and then also experience the kind of managerial leadership side of it. I think having both just gave me a lot of empathy for my team.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what they were going through. And I still carry that with me, even in my new role, of just all the respect in the world for CX and the associates on our team.
Yeah.
They have so much knowledge. So making sure that's like really known, and there's this culture of respect around it, which I think CX is doing really well at flipping the script. Whereas before, customer service is like, oh, cool, you do that? It wasn't this like industry, I feel like, even though it definitely should have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first started with my career, I remember the first customer experience position. And that was, so previously I had like worked in the travel industry. I was like a corporate travel agent, like, so did a lot of that. And then I moved into like working at a startup, and I was tasked with, at the time, I was like, oh, I could do travel support, like no problem. Mm-hmm. Like I was running like the operations team, the travel support operations team. And then I was tasked with taking the product support team and the travel support team and quote unquote, it was creating a holistic customer experience department. And I remember at the time being like, what the fuck is customer experience? Like,
yeah.
Right? And I was like, what? And I thought at that time it was like very service oriented.
Right.
But as I started like transitioning and like going into like all of these things, I learned that it was very much about the experience of the customer. It's like depending on like what your product was, you know, whatever. And it's like, and it's so important that customer experience isn't just about customer support. It's actually a piece of your brand marketing.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like that's where so much crossover. And I think our most like creative, and I will say again, just like really successful, lucrative campaigns at Terra Cafe came from a really strong partnership between marketing and CX. And we had leaders who really valued our feedback. And it got to the point where our team was so kind of locked in with our customers, where we could literally anticipate how they would react to a certain, you know, like piece of copy and being able to adjust it and, or just like prepare for certain responses. Like it became much easier to kind of influence the customer experience that way and just make it as positive as we can, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So one of the things that you actually said to me off camera that I want to talk about. So we obviously know your career in like Terra Cafe and then you recently switched to Sundays, a dog food brand, but your role at Sundays is senior member experience manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to me that member experience and CX are actually two different things.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear how Sundays is looking at member experience versus CX.
Yeah, for sure. I love this topic. And I have to give so much credit to my current manager at Sundays. His name is Joe. He's had an amazing career in just, you know, CX from the ground up for years and years and years. So really, when I saw this role and applied for it, I felt the same way where I was like, oh, member experience, this is interesting. And they really marketed this role as something separate from customer experience. So it all lives under this kind of like CX and retention bucket. But Sundays has a very core customer experience, customer care support team. And then now I'm hired on to do more of the retention focus, more like proactive campaigns, strategic like outbound outreach specifically for our subscribers. Because at the end of the day, it is a dog food subscription company. You know, we have like the prospective customers, one-offs, people who are kind of trying and trying to decide. But where myself and my team really focus is on like creating customer loyalty, retention efforts. And I'm actually now hiring out like a whole squad of MX associates, which is really cool. Yeah, it's really unique in the way that they're doing it. Because I think oftentimes retention can live like under marketing. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We have our own kind of like life cycle retention efforts there. But what's cool is there's a lot of overlap encouraged between like the customer support, customer experience, life cycle. And it's this nice like middle ground where we're kind of taking all of that and making improvements across the customer journey, but it's starting from a place of like customer feedback, insights. Part of my team will be a few members from the existing CX team. So it's really cool and really unique how that's all kind of living under CX. And I think it makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that's really awesome. I also want to touch on this point because you brought this up that like CX sometimes like falls under marketing often, but I think in every organization, it's very different.
Yeah.
Like when I was in B2B previously, before being in e-com, I actually reported into like business operations. And then I reported into product marketing and management.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when I moved like a very series of companies, like different places, sales, like this place, marketing, all these things, and B2B. But then when I moved into like e-com, right, the CX department was its own.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Which I actually like a lot better.
Same.
That the CX department is its own, but I know it's not like that in every organization, but I do agree with you that like, if it's not like that in every organization, then it should sit with the marketing team as much as possible because it is a part of brand marketing.
Right. Yeah. And then you really get the influence over pre-purchase customer experience, post, you know, it's not just when something goes wrong. CX is really able to have that influence over every single touch point, making sure the narrative is consistent, it makes sense. But same here, like both organizations I've been a part of, CX kind of stands alone and the people leading it and overseeing it just have a really, really positive relationship with the senior leadership team and the CEO, which I think goes a very long way for kind of prioritizing retention efforts.
Yeah.
But it's tricky, you know, because there is such a focus on acquisition and for good reason at early startups. But
yeah,
I feel like Sundays is really kind of turning a corner on prioritizing this across the business. So there's been a lot of excitement around it. And part of it is like the literal creation of these roles where you're investing money and investing in people to kind of do these retention efforts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think you hit on a good point though, like from the acquisition point of view, mm-hmm. like that is still a customer experience though.
Yeah.
You know, again, totally. It's a great experience. I'm interested to hear, I'm still stuck on the fact that like you've had like such an interesting career, right?
It's
like,
very
I'm
gonna random.
Be honest with you. I don't think it's random. I think it's like I'm very similar in that way. Yeah. I think a lot of people that get into this world are very similar. I'm just really interested though, like how was it transitioning from Terra Cafe to Sundays? Mm-hmm. Going from this like, you know, Tesla of coffee machines to dog food company that and dogs are family members, you know?
Yes, 100%. There's actually a lot of really interesting parallels. And I think that's part of when you interview somewhere, you're just really looking for the connections. And it was actually easier to find that than I thought. Whereas like first, just the way both companies position themselves as, you know, even though people are paying a premium for the products, when you do the research into the category, they actually are these really nice kind of best of both world options where like Terra Cafe isn't necessarily an espresso, but there are like $10,000 espresso machines that if you're a coffee nerd, like that's what you're going for. You're really buying that. But Terra Cafe just kind of wanted to bring that like cafe quality experience to anybody's home, you know, really hitting on the mass market.
And the cafe.
Yeah, hence the cafe. And Sundays is similar where it's like, it's not meant to be a niche product. It's meant to be for like the everyday pet owner who really wants a better option for their pets and for their dogs specifically, but is realistic about the fact that, you know, I'm door dashing 3 times a week. Am I really going to be taking things out of the freezer and thawing it and making it for my dog? Like I have the best intentions, but what's the reality of that? So it really combines the quality convenience thing. So I actually found it really easy to speak to that. And then people just are very connected to their purchases. Mm. Of course, it depends on the company and the product, but it's like innately understanding that and just kind of the why behind customers and their feelings about your brand and the product. And like, I can empathize with saving up for something for a really long time. Then you have the whole emotional element of this is your family, this is your pet. So I was actually able to see a lot of crossover in it. So transitioning over, it's been really cool to bring some of those lessons into Sundays, but the model is actually pretty different, which has been like the most interesting part going from, you know, TK had subscription, it just wasn't the bread and butter, to now going to a company where that's literally the whole thing is getting people to come back and purchase. So it's actually really cool because everyone is so focused on retention in a way of like, that is your job of how do you get people to keep coming back and subscribing and keep them happy ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, retention 101, right? Like how do you keep them coming back?
Your CX is great. That phrase is so last season. We want to hear your CX is incredible because at Customer, we believe in delivering incredible customer experiences. Introducing KIQ Agent Assist, the ultimate CX team AI sidekick built on our CRM to give agents superhero capabilities and efficiency. When building KIQ Agent Assist, we had goals in mind. 1, get rid of long customer wait times and increase the speed of customer resolution. 2, provide the CS team with real-time data for personalized prompt. 3, delegate those mundane tasks to AI. And 4, free up the agents to deliver a human experience. But listen, we didn't stop there. We wanted to deliver more. Check out KIQ Agent Assist's amazing features with suggested responses, automatic two-way translation in 53 languages, and conversation summary. Upgrade your customer experience with KIQ Agent Assist. Try it today and see the difference. Customer, delivering incredible CX every single time.
How do you approach a good retention strategy? Like, how do you go about building it? Like, I feel like everybody has a different approach to it. Like, my approach versus your approach is going to be so different.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, again, depends on like the stage that your company is at. You know, Sundays is still pretty small. We're like roughly 40 people. It was a similar size at TK. So I was already kind of used to that size in terms of people or maybe resources. So the way that I really wanted to approach it and was super honest in my even in my interviews with them about, you know, just the way that I kind of think about customer experience and retention and loyalty is, I think your first thought when you think of loyalty is like, okay, points, rewards program, referrals, all of those things that are super cool and important, but I think actually the majority of customers probably aren't going to participate in at the end of the day. Again, like really important strategy work to be done there. And if you do it right, the hope is that more people do kind of participate. And that was part of my job at Terra Cafe. But the way I really wanted to approach it at Sundays was just getting a lay of the land of like, okay, first core customer experience, what is going really well? What is not going well? Something like dog food has so many competitors. People like, you're going to get so many Instagram ads after this too.
I mean, my phone's probably listening to me.
It's listening.
Yeah. I don't have a dog, but you know.
You will get, I mean, and you know, even just being in the D2C like e-commerce world, I'm sure that's like the pet industry has been blowing up and people have a million different options. So before we can kind of ask them to keep spending money with us and, you know, come back and share with their friends, we really have to get that core customer experience right. And I think inevitably at startups, there's just things that like can be improved and there's a lot of white space, which is exciting. So my approach is like start there and then you can build on the really cool things like surprise and delight, swag, loyalty. And it'll go even farther because you have the foundations really right.
Yeah. I think it's, I see brands often biting off too much, It's like doing loyalty. It's doing this, it's doing that. Like be at the core of your retention program, which is like building the experience and then build.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's exactly what you said, but like, you know.
Yes, because it's great if you can give people points and I don't know, have like a really generous referral program. All of that people will care about, but it's like, if they're not getting their packages on time, especially with a category like dog food or whatever the example might be, that just has to be right. Otherwise, you know, that's an easy kind of out for people to try another brand and there's just, there's too much out there for people to really go out and try. So you have to at least have that right.
I mean,
that's kind of how I look at it.
There's so many.
Yes.
Because when I did have a dog, trust me, there were so many.
Totally. And it's like, I think it's hard too for customers to differentiate. And we just kind of assume that they know as much as we do. And it's like, they don't care about the value prop or the this specific ingredient. I think for a lot of people, if there's just like something really wrong with delivery or website's hard to use or they can't get in touch with someone, it just kind of goes out the window, unfortunately.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm interested to know from like your perspective, what other brands do you think that you consume, right, that you're a consumer of, has a really good retention strategy?
That's a great question. So I have an answer to this that has changed over time. I used to be all about Chipotle, all about their rewards program. I was like, this is so generous. This is so genius. It was a really basic like points program, but the way they had it set up, they had an app for it. It was really seamless. And they had really, really high touch support where it was super easy to get in touch with someone when they like inevitably messed up your order and forgot five things. And you're like, okay, it's fine.
Every time.
Because I know they're going to take care of me. I know they're going to make it right.
Right.
Getting a response immediately. They would add points to your account. It was just very generous. And then over time, they ended up kind of changing the model of how they did it. Because I'm assuming it wasn't super sustainable. But now it's like much harder to get in touch. There's more of a chatbot element, not as much like human support. And then they just made it like a little bit harder to kind of every time you were coming back and repurchasing, it just didn't count for as much. So I know you asked me for a good example. I mean, they started out really great. And I think it's just an example of, you know, all companies have to iterate, but just kind of that strategy and how like I found myself reacting the way any consumer would of like, oh, well, it was actually really nice to talk to someone when you missed my corn and would give me a whole free entree for it. Even if it's not
just
sustainable. I am that person who's like, I asked for extra, but just some kind of middle ground where it's like people can still reach out even if you're not throwing money at them, like some kind of mix of support and loyalty strategy combined. I felt like they were doing it really well and maybe it'll change. Who knows? Maybe they'll listen to this podcast.
Chipotle, shout out to you. I recently had a really terrible, like not just customer experience, but like retention experience even. I'm not going to name names about this, but your Chipotle story reminded me of this. But I had a suitcase that I've had for many years. Okay. And this suitcase at this point, like it's time. We got to retire the suitcase. Okay. And I reached out to a company and I was like, hey, like, you know, this isn't working. These things, like there's like certain features that it no longer has, mm-hmm. like the replacement one. They don't have the color, like all this stuff. And I was like, okay, like disappointment. And I like, and then I was like, okay, well, can I order this one in this color, but I'm going to have two in the same house. So can I like pay to personalize it? Mm-hmm. And they were just like constantly combating me about it.
Yeah.
And it's not even about like the experience of it, but now, I mean, yeah, that was like bad, but now I'm like, you won't even work with me on like trying to get, like, I'm telling you I have a problem.
Yeah.
I'm getting something new from you. I'm willing to pay for this like additional thing, even though you're covering like the whole replacement of this product.
Yeah.
I was super excited about you replacing the whole thing, but like this one feature, I can't even like pay for it, makes me not even want to use your company anymore. But right. I purchased you because I had this like, you know, warranty, this lifetime warranty on it.
Yes.
So now they're not retaining me as a customer because I'm going to go and just like invest in somebody else.
Right. And I feel like that's so common where it's, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of thought and strategy and money put into acquiring you as a customer, whether it's through an ad or whatever it may be, email follow-up, any kind of like flows there. But yeah, I think it's really unfortunate that once it comes to retaining customers and getting them to come back, repurchase, people mm-hmm. have had the product for years and years. I think it's unfortunately common that it's just like, there's not as much thought there.
No.
Which is unfortunate with something like a suitcase where you travel a lot. You are constantly showing your suitcase off. Like that's a really, huge missed opportunity.
I know.
And I think a lot of customers have like, they're like money in hand. I'm trying to work with you.
Yeah.
And there's just so many paper cuts.
I know. And I think even being like CX people, we have more empathy. You know what I mean? Like, but I also have high expectations.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, I was going to say.
Incredibly high expectations.
Yes.
But I have high empathy.
Right.
Right. Switching gears completely, not about retention, not about CX. Well, this is still about CX, but I'm really interested to know if like Terra Cafe or even Sundays mm-hmm. has any like, are you guys leveraging AI in your programs?
Yes. Great question.
Tell me.
And yeah, I love AI, by the way.
That Ooh, she's feels a stand like a for AI.
Saucy thing to say, but I'll say it.
Hot take.
I feel like it's moving. I don't know. I love when CX people are really pumped about it. And I could do a whole like sidebar on it, which I won't, but yes. So we use AI at Terra Cafe and we are at Sundays. We're implementing it as well, which is really exciting to me. One of the like last big projects before I left TK was setting up a conversational AI tool.
Nice.
And that changed the business. Cause up until that point, we didn't even really utilize any kind of like chatbot on our site that didn't go super well, or any like sometimes CRM tools have their like built-in AI. It might not be as kind of robust, but we weren't doing anything. We just had a fully in-house team, full-time, you know, Brooklyn-based, and they were amazing, super locked in. But as far as like the scale and those really rote, just like where are my order questions, it got really hard to keep up.
Yeah.
And so that tool was huge as far as just handling volume, but doing it in a way that still felt like branded and high touch and personal, and let our human team really take on like the nitty-gritty interactions, troubleshooting, you know, things we wanted a human eye on.
Yeah.
It was a huge help there. And then, Sundays is implementing it as far as like a chat bot, kind of like chat companion that lives on the site and then hands off to live chat. So that's an exciting new channel, but also really personifying it. So it's not this just kind of, I feel like when people hear chat bot, it's just, I don't personally love them either. It can feel really like robotic or scripted, or just you're pressing the same button, not able to get what you want out of it. But I really see AI and CX kind of moving into a more like personalized direction. It feels more like a branded experience. So like the AI at Sundays is, you know, we're branding it as like a dog. Like it's Buddy the dog who's talking to you about your dog. It's cute. It's delightful. People like it. It's better than, you know, it's better than like Clippy or whatever people have.
Yeah.
Their, like AI persona. But I really like that aspect of it because you can still delight people with that. And it's like a self-service tool, I think, is how we should be looking at it.
No, absolutely. I mean, this kind of leads me into like one of the next questions I'm going to ask you, but like, I believe that, like, I'm such a person that like, I will implement AI. I don't think AI is coming for somebody's job.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because at times, like you can really, my belief is that you can utilize AI to kind of like get rid of like those tier one types of questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where's my order, or like product info or things like that. And then your team has the ability to deliver like a more humanized experience because they have more time to actually sort through them. Like I'm dealing with one of my freelance clients, like they have a backlog of like 900 tickets. Wow. And I'm like, and I was like doing an audit of like their site and looking through things. And I'm like, well, why do you have an email call out, a contact us form, plus this chatbot that's not really built out?
Yeah.
And you're not even like sending them to the FAQ page. Like you, like honestly, what we should be thinking about in a good customer experience and a good support experience is very much how can I help my customer service themselves? And it's not taking away that agent away from them, but it's like training your consumer to educate themselves.
Right. Exactly. You know?
And that's what I think AI like will help do. Right. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I just went on a tangent myself.
It's super, I love it. I agree. It's super, it's just like supplemental to your current kind of right. CX strategy. It's, I think about it in a similar way where, you know, companies have a hybrid like in-house and then BPO team that they're using. It's just like different ways of making sure your customer gets what they need. And I see AI as something really similar where you're just adding yeah. that on because different customers want to interact with you on different channels, you know, on their own time, off hours, and just yeah. giving people options, just making it really easy to reach a human, I think is the most important part if that's what they want, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally switching gears.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with AI, all to do with marketing.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question because this is like my hot take of the week, right? Do you prefer as a consumer getting emails or SMS?
SMS, 100%.
I know, right?
I love SMS. And it's still, for some reason, it still feels novel, even though it's not.
Yeah.
It's been around for a really long time, but I will open that always. I think it's just, I think it's the muscle memory too uh-huh. of, you know, if I'm getting a text, I'm opening it. I'm not really the kind of person who has 500 texts, but if you are, that's then maybe, you know, that person would have a different answer. But I still really like it. And I think it feels more conversational just because it's literally in text form. Yeah. And when brands do like photos and emojis,
yeah.
I think it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
Even if it is marketing, I'm like, okay, but they did a GIF and that was, you know, that did something for me.
I know. Like, I think that SMS is a brand loyalty channel.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
Yes.
I really do. And I get it that like some people are still really about email, mm-hmm. but I love SMS, man. I think it's like short and sweet.
Yeah.
Do you have like any sort of like SMS flow set up on amongst your team? Like there's like things that I've done where you get a message. If I reply back, it still like goes down to like some sort of AI or even a person. Do you mm-hmm. have anything like that set up?
Yeah. So we have an SMS channel as far as CX goes. Mm-hmm. And then around the same time I joined Sundays, our really amazing lifecycle lead joined. And now she's really taking over like the actual welcome flows, SMS there. I think that's a huge focus area for Sundays this year is yeah. getting really strategic on that. And what I'm so excited about is her and I will really work together on this kind of 1-2 punch of, you know, a lot of, I've seen some brands do like at TK, we did a letter from CX that was like a really successful part yeah. of the post-purchase flow or being able when people are onboarding, having certain parts of like really high stake parts of the customer journey, being able to send them that personalized SMS and message that maybe they're just more likely to open, but then being able to follow it up with my team who can like really field those kind of
right.
inquiries. And it's just part of the campaign strategy that her and I really are working on together is yeah. like, how can we have this almost dedicated team? And my whole like hope and dream would be when people are onboarding, you get assigned like a rep and you get an SMS from them that sounds personalized. They send you a photo of their dog that they transition from Sundays or to Sundays. And you can actually have two-way conversations with them during your onboarding in real time if you need to. So it's like things people are already asking, conversations that are already happening with CX, but we get the points because we're doing it proactively and doing it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, shout out to Sundays and Terror Cafe for like, honestly, having CX a part of the marketing.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the things you really hit on was like having CX a part of like the life cycle.
Yes.
Overall. And I think yeah. that's really awesome. Our time is coming to an end, my friend, but I really appreciate you coming on. Madison, tell the homies where they can find you.
Yes. I'm on LinkedIn.
Oop.
I'm linked all the way in. So you can find me, Madison Moss, on LinkedIn. And that's really it. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned wedding photography. If anyone cares about that, Jess, I know you're engaged. I can send you lots of photographers. I follow a million Madison Moss photo. But yeah, for all CX things, LinkedIn is the best way to find me.
LinkedIn's bumping.
I'm
in LinkedIn.
I have fun on there.
I'm treating LinkedIn like my Twitter these days. I'm going to be honest with you. Well, thank you all for joining in for another episode of The Juice. I will see you next week.
Wow, you made it to the end of the episode. That means that you like me and I like you, which also means you should subscribe to this show.